the back with Pastor Rita.
And you guys have your service back there. Thank you. Here, I don't need the whole bag. My little one. Thank you. I believed in you. I believe you were going to make it here on time, but I printed out a copy anyway. So my faith is just is weak here because you prayed for me, okay? Everybody stand on your feet. Get your Bible out. Repeat after me. Say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can be what it says I can be. And I can do what the Word says I can do. It's the living seed of God living in me, and I'll never be the same. Never, never, never will I be the same. God increase, pastor decrease. Give us ears to hear what God has to say. We're going to walk with power and not let the laws get left. Amen. You may be seated. And so we're going to talk about some really church Christianity curse word is what we'll be discussing today, called patience and waiting. A lot of believers don't like to hear that. They don't like to hear waiting. How many of y'all do not like waiting for things? Yeah, both things, okay? I don't like going out to eat just because I know there's going to be a line. Just, I don't want to wait. I won't do it. I could go home and wait and do stuff like that. However, it is a spiritual exercise to learn how to wait. And so today, with a play on words, weight lifting. So we're not all going to the gym. That's not what this is about. But when you lift your weight, God can show you, and your discernment will be exercised, and you'll be able to discern better when you learn how to wait. The thing of this, right? I think God makes us. That's what we're saying about Jireh. You are not our son, but the song Jireh. God is enough, right? Okay, so I'm gonna say this, and for all of us who like to collect things. If you are not supposed to buy it, right? Man, y'all stay with me, okay? Listen. Just because it's on sale, like you're never going to see it on sale like this again, right? Right? Let's be honest, right? How many of us like, man, this is too good to pass up? Anybody ever done that? Like, I can't, but you're not supposed to be buying it, though. But it's too good to pass up. And sometimes, and this will just hit me just while I was running this morning out in the cold, and it was like hitting me, and God was like, sometimes we purchase on sale like God isn't big enough to let you buy it at the full price if you just wait. You know what I mean? Like, and then when you see the full price, you're like, if you meant that, see, some of y'all like, let me break this down. Listen, getting gas. I knew the gas prices was gonna go up, and I thought, okay, God, where is the lowest price? Okay, H-E-B, all 79. Okay, we're going to. But I know the Quick Trip has it just for 5 cents more. But God goes, no, I'm going to go to H-E-B for 243 because I saw it at 248, just so long as it's not 279. So go there. Yeah, I got the numbers in my head. Like, I'm just telling you how I operate, even though I just said what I said about the sales. Okay? And so I go there. Now, I'll waste 6 gallons trying to get the dog on sale. But I said, okay, I'm going to go in here because I just finished running. I'm sweaty. And I was like, it's cold. It's the other day, and I got out. I got the gas from HB. Turn a corner. I have to pass Quick Trip to go home, and it's $2.79. If we just learn to hear. If we just learn to hear. And even though it may be the sale of a lifetime, what the enemy may be getting you to do is disrupt your ability to wait. There may be something more important than the discount. Because God has said, I'm big enough for you to pay the whole price if you'll just wait on me to bring it to you. Instead of trying to catch the sale and spending something you shouldn't spend, just wait on me and I'll get you the enough. Yeah. And so there are times when we do that. We kind of do that in friendships where we discount, get something, get a friendship on discount instead of waiting for God to bring the real person. That's why we too big to finish small this year. We were too big to finish small. I'm not going to finish small. I've done too much, served God too long to go ahead and squeeze into 2024. I'm going to go in there large. Yeah. All right? They say if a lion comes towards you, don't know why you'd be in this situation. But if so, you're supposed to look bigger. And then they say don't run from it. Because if you run from it, it's going to hunt you. And I think a lot of times if we learn to face what's coming toward us instead of running from it, and the best way to look big is to put your coat on and worship Father, when we say that, right? Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden then stand up and speak the word only, that thing ain't gonna keep charging you. We go back. So we have to do weight lifting. Patience doesn't kill us, it makes us stronger, right? And this is, as the statement goes, what doesn't kill you will make you strong. Patience will not kill you to be patient. Amen. That's what I thought. That's exactly what I thought. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29 through 31 says, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. This is so they that wait upon the Lord, obviously this is where the text is bringing into our title, shall renew their strength. We are not weak because of a lack of faith. We are weak because of a lack of weight. You have got plenty of faith. He's been giving us the measure of faith. You don't need more Bible reading. You don't need more Bible time. You just need to wait on what God has already told you to do. Right? That's where your strength comes from. I'm tired, Lord. I just don't know how to serve you. It's because you got in a rush. You got in a rush. And now you're not strengthened because you're not waiting. Right? Because it says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And so you got to wait before you get ready to get mad and pop off. You got to wait and let that pass so you can get strong enough to let it pass. And you have to wait before you go and do something that you shouldn't be done so you can be strong enough to resist the temptation to do it. Mm-hmm. So there's power in waiting. There's a reason why hospitals have waiting rooms so that you can sit outside the surgery time getting yourself stronger while you wait. Because you can't go in there and do surgery. You don't know what you're doing. By the way, your relative don't want you in there. Not with a knife. Right? And so we have to learn to wait upon the Lord. Now, again, I'm not good at being patient. I'm not a waiter, but I can still preach the truth whether I'm good at it or not. So a lot of times people think because we're not good at something, we still can't speak it. Yes, you can. Don't ever forfeit your authority because you feel like you don't have it all together. And you say, well, I don't have it all together, so I shouldn't be telling my kids to do it. Yeah, you should tell your kids to do it because your kids need your leadership. Okay? And then after you tell them, learn how to wait for them to get it together, right? But that means we can't wait in fear. So waiting is like a waiter. So if your waiter seated you but never did anything for you after that, other than Pastor Rita, that waiter's not getting a tip. She just feel like everybody should get a tip. I'm gonna give them a tip. You need to get another profession, that's my tip. Don't take money from strangers. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and anything that we rush into will ultimately wear us down. If you've ever rushed into a friendship, if you've ever rushed into a circumstance, if you've ever rushed into a deal, if you ever rushed into a commitment that God didn't tell you to, it's okay to step back and go, wait a minute, I got there too fast. Try to get more faith, to be more spiritual, all those things, those are good things about God commanded. But the one thing God will command us to do is he will command us to just wait. Just wait. Just wait. Just be patient. Just wait. Just wait. I was sitting here and was thinking, like, how in the world did I think I wasn't strong enough? If I would have waited certain things out, you'll see it didn't take that much to lift it anyway. All you had to do was wait. You needed some things to pass. You need to realize that thing's gonna unload. If you've ever blown up on anyone, I don't know one in here has ever done it, you just screamed out. If you held that in and waited and let God process, that person ends up apologizing before you go off on them the next time. Okay? Gotta be able to do that. Gotta be able to trust the way. And but if you if your job, if your profession is talking, you tend to not wait. This is your profession. If you're married to the same person in the same profession, you can have a lot of words at one time. A lot of tons of words. Words and words and words. So we say the talk is cheap when your walk is weak. That's the only time talk is cheap, is when you don't walk it. It's strong when you walk it, when you live it out. And so we listen to this, so, and trying to get more is not what God's called you to do. He said, if you just wait, that's where your strength will come from. I need you to be patient, not just for this, but for this, so it can build you for the next thing you need to be patient for. And sometimes we jump into things way too soon and realize they wear us out because God is not with us. Mm-hmm. He will not give us another way to where he wants us to go. Waiting means that we will gain strength to live in the blessings we have been wanting. So he's saying there's a greater blessing for you. It's always like the butterfly, the little girl that cuts the butterfly. Then there's a video on YouTube of me speaking, and then they cut to the picture. They found this, the people that were did this video for me. They took it away from my face and shows this little girl going, running to get a razor blade, this cocoon. The butterfly was in a cocoon. And she wanted to cut it out because she felt like the butterfly was trapped and she needed to rescue it. How many of y'all ever felt like that? Oh, my baby, I just need to, let me do the homework for him, or let me get him out of it. And the minute she went and got the razor blade and was carefully and cut the butterfly out of the cocoon, and she was expecting it to fly, it didn't fly, it fell straight to the ground. Because until it's strong enough to kick out of where it is, it can't live where it needs to be. So it wasn't strong enough to kick through, so it's not strong enough to live outside of it. Quit looking for a way out and start praying for God. Wait on God to strengthen you to go through it. Because when you can go through it, you can live outside of it. Most times, people return back to the stuff that they were delivered from because they didn't really get delivered, they just got pulled out. Right? Because there's a difference between being delivered and someone pulling you out and trying to make you feel good for a few weeks because you're going to go return back to it. You weren't strong enough to stay out. So there's a difference between, and those of us who know about deliverance and pulling down strongholds. Pulling down strongholds mean that you're being built up spiritually to not just come out of the stronghold, but to live outside of the stronghold. And that's part of the benefit. That's part of what even when we look at it, you may not be as strong. It will tell you now during fasting times, Brad and I, we still work out, but he'll tell you, I'm significantly weaker on just water than I am on a good burger. I'm talking about the burger where the meat don't shrink, that kind of meat. One of them, I can lift all day with that. He'll tell you, like, they're shaking. He has to be there. You have to find somebody that knows how to spot you. And I'm talking about that in life as well, because you're not going to be strong in all the areas, so you just wait for God. I have to be a little bit more patient when I'm walking spiritually with God. I have to be patient. I have to, and again, this is not my strong suit. I like to get things over with. I get done. Come on. Don't give me instructions. Pastor Rita will be trying to give me direction. No. Then I'm going to end up doing it wrong, and I'm going to have to go redo it. She's trying to keep me from doing that. But it takes so long to get all the instructions. Then as we get older, they tell you, if you're gonna keep working out, you gotta stretch. I don't wanna take time to stretch. I got places to go. Okay, stretch or get injured. Which one you want? Stretch. Let's do it reluctantly. And sometimes, like with us, we're getting injured in our walk with God because we're not stretching ourselves in our worship. And we're not stretching ourselves in our praise. We're not stretching ourselves in the word. So let's make sure we're stretched. We're limbered up for the race. Lord, it's cold out there. Good. Put your coat on. I'm going to say it a billion times a day, I bet. Because it's worship. Hebrews 11:6 says he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Diligently seek him. Pursue God, but don't rush God. And he will always reward those who diligently seek him. And sometimes we say we're pursuing God, but really we're trying to rush God. Let me get it my way, right? Patience is the intolerance of the enemy's desire to kill, steal, and destroy. John 10:10. The devil knows he cannot take our salvation, but if he can plant impatience and speed us up in life, it can lead us to an early grave. Right? Because he's speeding you up. Even with your good stuff. Well, go out there and do it. Go out there and do it. Come on. Go out there and do it. Go out there and do it. He's pushing you. Even in your good thing, you're so caught up doing that you forget to be a human being. Right? And so we got to get back to those parts of that, my humanity. So the enemy says, I can't steal you from heaven, but I'm going to make sure you don't have heaven on earth. I will make sure you will not live out the Lord's Prayer. Because it's pushing you and trying to get you to do too much. And we struggle with saying no. And sometimes you just need to be able to say no. Yeses are expensive. It costs you your time. It costs you your resource. When you say yes to something, I'm not telling you to always say yes, not to say yes. I'm not telling you that. I'm telling you, make sure when God tells you to do it, don't be afraid to say no. And sometimes we just won't do it because we don't look like the bad guy. Well, if being the bad guy means you're going to be a healthier guy, be a healthier guy. Right? Be a person that can be sustainable. The grave doesn't have to be a physical grave. There are plenty of proclaimed Christians that have died in their belief, passion, and hope because the enemy pushed them into something they were not developed enough to handle. This is the purpose of strength the Lord gives us. The way of strength. Now, y'all remember back in the day, like Polaroids, right? Y'all remember those? And you took that picture. You had to shake it out, baby. Shake it out. Now, even before then, they had to go into dark rooms and develop them there. If he came out of the room too, if he exposed the film too soon, what happened to the picture? Ruin. And many times as believers, we get exposed too soon because we're so busy trying to get to the picture, we don't wait to develop. Right? And then you wonder why can't nobody see what you thought you saw. Because you don't look like the picture that God has for you. So just wait. Sit in a dark room. I'm alone. I'm by myself. No, God is not taking something from you. He's taking something for you. He's not withholding. He's preparing. And know the difference. As early as I wanted a car, I wanted to drive early. I drove illegally for several years because I got it. But I was a terrible driver. My twin was good because I was short. So I had to be right up on the wheel. And this is before you had to wear seatbelts. This is before there was a little center thing in the middle. One of my happiest things when those center leaning rest, we didn't have one in our Cutlass. And I had just armed all the leather seats. So you talking about judging your turn? I took a right turn and slid all the way into the passenger seat. I was driving like this. Saying, what is wrong with me? Who does that? Because I didn't get to see, so y'all can see that. I didn't let myself develop into this, so I wanted to rush into it. Then my kids tell you, very impatient. I just don't like waiting around. Why are we doing stuff to wait? So I'm like, state fairs. It's so fun. What you do? 3 rides. How long are you there? 8 hours.
We've been waiting.
We got to stand in line, though. You could have did that here. For $12. So we wait upon God. So listen to this. He gives us strength. Strength to move forward and progress for him. It isn't strength to show off, but strength to go forward in his will. So the part where it says weak, let the weak say I'm strong. That's Isaiah 40:29. And the faint is Isaiah 40:30. Are the same Hebrew words, which means failure through loss of inherent strength. Weak and faint is failure through loss of inherent strength. Weary in Isaiah 40:30 is a different word, which means exhaustion because of the hardness of life. So we've all experienced that at some point, right? So we got weak, we got faint, and then we got weary, right? And Galatians 6:9 says, don't grow weary in well-doing, for in due season you'll reap if you don't. Faith. It actually includes both words. So don't grow exhausted from life, because you will reap if you don't get weak. You don't faint not. And so again, my waiting makes me stronger. My waiting makes me stronger. If we are worn out for either reason, God is here to give us strength. If we will wait on him, notice the order, because it seems strange, right? It says first, we mount up with wings like eagles, right? That's a great verse. It says we mount up with wings as eagles, which means we're going to soar first. And then it's like in the heavenly places by Christ Jesus, and that's according to Ephesians 2:6. Then we set ourselves on course to run the race, so we run second. So we soar, then we run, Hebrews 12:1. Then we are in a good place to walk the walk, Colossians 2:6. Okay, so we talk about those, and those are all broken down in notes, because he said you'll mount up with the eagles, you mount up with wings of the eagles, you're running, not going to remember, you're walking, not faint. Because until you learn that you're able to soar up here, when you're able to soar in heavenly places spiritually, you're not going to be able to run the race with patience that you have, that so you can walk out the walk. Right? It all comes in that order. You have to see yourself above the circumstances so that you can run the race and walk the walk. That's where God has called us to. So it's ability to wait. Matthew chapter 26, verse 40 through 41 says, then Jesus returned to the disciples and found them sleeping. Were you not able to keep watch with me for 1 hour? He asked Peter. Watch and pray so that you will not enter into temptation, for the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. In fact, the King James says, indeed the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Okay, so you can want to do things spiritually that your body may confront you. That doesn't mean it's not God just because your body ain't wanting it. That means your body is in a fleshly, ungodly world. And so you have to obey the spirit. The spirit may want to sit still and be quiet. Your body may want to give an opinion. Indeed, the spirit is willing when the flesh is weak. Waiting is the spiritual weapon that exposes deception. It is a spiritual weapon that exposes deception. Wait them out. Rushing into things without waiting on God is fleshly immaturity that will lead to being exhausted mentally, physically, and emotionally. God, I thought by now I would be okay. You are okay. You're still here. You just need to learn how to wait. You just gotta wait. You're good. Just wait. Watching and praying will keep us from having to fight battles that we don't have the grace for. And we've said this before. He said, watch and pray that you don't enter into temptation, which means prayerlessness will lead you into fights that you shouldn't have to fight. And you don't have the grace to fight. Prayerlessness will lead you into temptations that you have already defeated, but because you're so used to winning, you forget to pray up to the God who gave you the victory to begin with. So now you're refighting things that you have victory over because of prayerlessness. Waiting and praying restores us to keep watch. James 1:4 says, let patience have its perfect work. Right. So we'll go back to that, right? let patience have its perfect work, and so that we don't settle for partial work. I gotta have patience, have perfect work, so I don't settle for partial work, because I know what the full thing looks like, so I don't have to go for half and make up the difference. Right? You ever ran out of sugar, but you made the Kool-Aid without checking first? And then, who was the child that had to go ask for sugar from the neighbors? The man was the most. You have to humble yourself to go ask for a cup of sugar. Okay? And if you've never done this, you should try this. Like, if you've never done this, just try it. Just go to your neighbor and say, you got a cup of sugar? Now, again, and our neighbors we're probably living now, probably everybody has a cup of sugar. But where we live, in Lubbock, not everybody had a cup of sugar all week. And they were using it a quarter of a cup per day. So to give you a cup cost for some Kool-Aid. And you get it. Now, I know y'all haven't done this. You ever drink that wet, red, bitter water? That's Kool-Aid with no sugar. I drank it anyway. The power of imagination. When you want something so bad, it tasted like Kool-Aid to me. I drank the whole thing with that. I think sometimes we want to add it so it'll taste good instead of realizing we just needed the water. I'm not telling you to go add Kool-Aid to your stuff, but I'm telling you, you're good right where you are. And because you don't have sugar, maybe you should check it before you put the packages in there. But we can't waste Kool-Aid, man. That got you beat up now. That would have got a fight started. You go ahead and waste that Kool-Aid if you want to. Now, again, you search for other things. Because you wouldn't wait and you wouldn't pay attention, you put the Kool-Aid in there too soon, then realize you have sugar, then you found out, oh, we got powdered sugar. That's not the same. Right? Powdered sugar is not the same. Let me tell you this. Now, you waited and you didn't pay attention, you put the Kool-Aid in there, and you didn't realize you had sugar, but you don't have no powdered sugar, but you got corn syrup. Not the same. I'm just telling you what all we did to make it through. I know y'all didn't do this. I know you didn't get this in creative. And if I'd have been this creative with my homework, I graduated when I was in elementary. We got that, and it's like, don't waste anything. And we've grown up with that, and so we're so busy not wasting that we forget to start waiting. Because now let me get this so I don't waste it. Let me get this so I don't do it. And so we'll force ourselves. And then, Brad and I were talking about this. We don't like it when we overbuy too much food. Not that it's me, but it's somebody that I know that I live very close to. And cook too much like it's for a bunch of people. And then you see it left over and you're thinking, we can't let this go to waste. What do they call us, men? What do they say what kind of body we have? A dad bod. You know what that is? Eating the leftovers so you don't feel like you wasted your money at that place. And you're sitting there like, oh man, I paid $17. Give me your bread. I'm not hungry. Now give it here. But that don't even go with your mouth. I don't care. Give it to me. We're not leaving it here. With the waiter that don't know how to wait. And so again, we're saying, number one, count your blessings so you know how to wait. Quit starving for something that you can already have to eat right there. Right? And so we go, like, I'm starving. I was telling Pastor Rita. She's like, man, are you hungry? I go, yeah, I'm starving. She goes, you want to go get it? I'm not that hungry. I'm starving for you to go get it. But nah, I can hold out. I can hold out. And again, we use words like, I'm starving. I'm done. And you ain't starving. Day 6 on just water, that's starving. When your stomach and your back is clapping. Right? Learn how to wait. I wanted to wait. I want to wait on God. I was thinking even this morning as it's going, I was like, okay, I'm going to do my run. I'm going to do my prayer. I'm going to do my 6-mile prayer. And I'm going to do it. And I'm like, my body is tired. My legs are tired. Didn't fill up the water. I got to fill up the water. All these excuses popping in. The printer wasn't working. I did the printer. The sign was working. Then I dropped the sign. All the letters rushed together. I thought, you know what? I'm going to do it anyway. Of course, I was late with the cups. Forgot my sermon. And what I want you to do is push through while waiting through. There's some other things that you can push through on. If you want to be in a rush for something, wait on the things of God and then finish what God has called you to do before. So we've got that, and he says, let my peace. So patience is the weapon that reveals deception. You wait them out, you'll find them out. You'll find out what they really want. Patients need to have a perfect work. So if a perfect work, so that we don't settle for a partial work, and a perfect work that will have a permanent mark. When patience has a perfect work, it'll leave a permanent mark. It'll leave a mark on you that you know that you can do this. Waiting may feel lonely, but being in God's direction means we are never alone. Loneliness is not the absence of affection, it's the absence of direction. When I know where I'm going, it don't matter if anybody's with me or not. I'm filled with God's direction. That's a whole company. That's a whole group. God's direction. Okay, look, little man, when you finish running this, okay, you're going to do this, and you're praying, and you believe God for this. You can see healing. You can see blessing. You can see because you got God's direction. It doesn't matter. Nobody else is out there with you. It doesn't. The extra mile's never crowded anyway. No one's going, but you're out there. So back to Isaiah 61 and verse 10. And I say this during worship, so I just want you to have the reference with you. I celebrate and shout because of my Lord God. Now, hang on. It says, I celebrate and I shout. shouting, celebrating. Those are worships. Those are acts of worship, right? I came home and said, I shout, I celebrate, I'm loud. It's an act of worship. And so because of my, what does it say? It's because of my Lord. This is what y'all say with me. Because of it's right. It's the last word. I want you to say the first word. Because of my, yeah, them too. That's why I'm excited. That's what I'm aware of. It's like, I'm like, man, let me put my coat on. Yes. So I got to worship it. I know it's cold. I know everybody. I know people not believing in me. I know it's the end of the year. And then it says this, his saving power and justice are the very clothes I wear. Like, man, I don't have a suit on. I have been clothed to worship. Yes. And when I put my worship on, you can say what you want to say because I'm covered in my worship. It is my makeup, my makeup. They are more beautiful than the jewelry worn by a bride or a groom. You as shiny as your worship. And when you clothe yourself with worship, and this is what I said, and if you have a worship song you want to play tonight, send it to me. We'll play it. There's going to be something that God may speak to you and say, man, I want to hear that during worship. As all of us pray together, bring your notepad tonight. Come worship. Come put your coat on. Don't be so out there trying to fight all the elements that are out there in the world without your coat on. Put your coat on. Miracle's been telling us some unique things about, because she's at a place where it's legit cold. Like 15 degrees is a good day some days for them. You know, they talking now, they told her so much because she was wearing her big coat when she got there. Folks like us do. And she said, the folks from Tennessee, Alabama, they said, you may want to pump the brakes on that. Don't wear the coat you're going to wear in below zero temperatures in this kind of weather. Because your body won't be able to receive protection from it because you will have used it in this. Sometimes we overdress. And something God didn't call you to do all that. He just said, just believe. Yeah. He didn't tell Jairus to run home, check on your daughter, get rid of the messages. He said, just believe, we'll get there. Yeah. They told her, if you wear it now, your body won't be able to, you'll be freezing when the real cold hits. So just that. And sometimes we got to enter into a heavier coat of worship. Yeah. It is my clothing. Jesus said, you'll be naked, and actually God said, Adam and Eve, they'd be naked and not ashamed. Okay, so that's back to clothing, right? How do I get myself back to there where I'm not ashamed? Clothe yourself in worship. God, I thought I'd be better than this. I thought I'd be doing this stuff. And we were having to do that too, because I was like saying this to myself, why am I moving during Christmas? Who does this? What's wrong with us? What's wrong? And God says, just keep moving. Just keep moving. Just keep going. You ain't got time to sit here and just keep moving. Put your coat on. It's cold in the morning anyway. I got a coat on, Lord. He says, not that one. That one's making you sweat. I'm trying to get you healed. And so we worship for God. Worship is like a coat that you put on in the weather. When the weather's bad, the weather does not, you do not, don't go and put your worship on and think everything around you should change. It should change you first.
Yes.
Right? Now, I was running this morning, it was still 36 degrees outside. But I had a coat on. Well, Lord, you said if I put a coat on, all things will change. He said if you put a coat on, it'll change you. And people quit because of it. Do y'all listen? Okay. Bye. Right? And I heard this. So y'all help me with this. Help me work it out, okay? Jesus is coming for the church, which is his bride. Right? And so that means that all of us, until we collectively come together, is the church. Now, I struggled with this a little bit, but I'm going to say it the way I heard it and said that we're like bridesmaids. Now, if you come to a place to get something from somebody else's bride, you come to get what you want, that's not a relationship, that's an affair. Because you're coming after God's bride, the church. You don't come to get something from it. you bring something to it because you're the bridesmaid. Mm-hmm. You don't go into it. And a lot of times where it's like, well, I'm going to church and I ain't getting nothing out of that. And I'm leaving that church. And I ain't getting nothing from it. And I'm leaving it. And so we were trying to have an affair with what belongs to God. That's what I said. But then I'm still working on it. I'm just giving it to you the end of the year so we can process it. May not get us to June when I can actually preach that, because I'm still like, what? Were you ever read the Bible? You're just like, let me set this down. I'm a bridesmaid. I should be helping the bride. I should be preparing the bride. I should be doing my part to help the bride, not trying to get from the bride. That ain't in the notes. Let's see. If you see, if they read that, this is Spotify. Spotify. Worship is the best way to gain weight. Amen. How many are excited about gaining weight? What? Stay with the sermon. Raise your hand. Y'all like, No. I don't even joke like that, Pastor. No, sir. No, so y'all look at that. In fact, I had to threaten y'all all the more. Amen. Bow your heads. Let's pray. Out of control. I give you a chance to eat spiritual donuts and y'all don't take it. Krispy Kreme, Round Rock donuts. You got a chance. All right. As your hands are bowed and eyes are closed, Father, we pray. I pray for the strength of God for us to wait and be patient with what you called us to. Now, Lord God, we know that you have a plan for us. And you have an expected end, because you think good of us, you don't think evil, and Father, we need to know your heart. So Lord, give me that strength to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Give me peace, Lord God, to just wait on you. I know it's been a long time. I know you've been doing it over and over again. I know it's been going and going and going, but God says keep your coat on. The worst thing you can do is start complaining and take your coat off, and then the weather starts to become more important to you than what you should be weathering. So he's blessing us to understand, let the elements be the elements, but don't you let them have an influence on you. Lord, help me to handle my weight. Help me to control my weight. As your eyes are closed, your heads are bowed, you're in here and you say, man, I need to be right with God. I've never accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. If I were to die right now, I don't know where I'd spend eternity. I want to be right with God. I want to be sure with God. As heads are bowed, eyes are closed, I'll be the only one with my eyes open, and me, you and Jesus will be the one. If that's you, as people are praying, I want you just to lift your hand and put it down. That's any of us. Thank you. Put your hand down. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Awesome, awesome. Praise God. So I just want to be right with God. I don't want to guess at this. I don't want to get there and say, you know, I think I was. Now you're in here, you're saying, I need help with my weight. WAIT, for those of you still struggling to get this right. I need help with my patience. Let me say that. Say, I need to learn. I need to be strengthened in my patience so I can be strengthened to do what God called me to do. I need prayer for that. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand so we can pray with you. Yeah. That's a lot of us. Yeah. Patience with your family. You're flying off the handle. You're losing your temper. If that's you, raise your hand. You need patience in that area, or you're just starting to lose your cool a little bit too much. So I got my hand up for that one. All right, everybody stand to your feet. We do it all together. Now, this is the thing that Jesus told us to protect. This is the bride, all of us together. This is the bride that Jesus is coming for. This is where no one person comes and steals from the bride, because it belongs to Jesus. Everybody put one hand over your heart, put the other hand toward heaven. If you don't know where your heart is, cross both hands. And repeat after me. We're going to lead someone to Christ. You're going to do it today. We're all going to do it together. What a way to end the year. All the way to the end of here, say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your son, Jesus.
Your son, Jesus.
I thank you for sending him, to die on the cross, for me.
For me.
I receive him personally, according to the word of God. When I confess with my mouth, and believe in my heart, that Jesus died, and he rose on the third day for me to be born again. The veil of the temple was open.
Yes.
I walk in right now to receive salvation, for eternity.
For eternity.
No one can take this from me. And I give you all the glory and praise for coming into my life. Holy Spirit, I welcome you to completely saturate me from the top of my head to the soles of my feet for my salvation for eternity. In Jesus' name. All right, don't shout just yet. Put your hand down. Father, we pray for those who said, I need patience. I got to get stronger. I'm reacting instead of being proactive in my worship. I need to be strengthened in my waiting. Not getting frustrated, not getting bitter, not getting mad, just strengthened to wait. Just wait. And Father, while I'm waiting, help me not to feel like I'm being taken advantage of. Help me not to get caught up in they just running over me and they just get in their way. And Lord, take those words from my mind. When I get like that, help me remember to put my coat on. That means I'm reacting to the elements. But Father, I receive that I will be patient. I will wait on you, and I'll be strengthened to do so. In Jesus' name, amen. Now.